We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
I'm so glad to be able to share the Word of God with all of you today. You're at Redemption Church in Plano, Texas, and we are in the last Sunday of January. Did that kind of go quick? Wasn't it just October? What happened? I don't know what happened. It was like 2020 took forever, and then it was like someone pushed the fast forward button, and now we're, tomorrow is February. My goodness, that went so quick. We are also in the last week of our sermon series called 2021, and you can catch all the weeks of this series on our website, complete with all the sermon notes you could ever want. Go search 20, spell it out, 2021. At our website, redemptionplano.com. We want you to check all that out. Jesus prayed that we would be one. Jesus prayed a prayer that you and I play a part in answering. Do you want to answer the prayer of Jesus?
Yeah.
He's answered so many of our prayers. Wouldn't it be great to answer his prayer today? We have talked about the importance of unity. We need unity. We need to be one with ourselves. Stop being double-minded. Stop being torn in two. We need to be one in our home. We need to be one in our marriages, in our relationships. And we need to be in one place together. We talked about all of those. Today, I want to tell you to be one in the church. Say one in the church.
One in the church.
Today, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to be talking about unity in the church. But before I dive into the Word, I want us to do something very unifying and something that is very biblical. And I would like to get your buy-in by showing you the scripture. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 5. I urge, he said, I urge then, first of all right, so not only does he urge, but it's like first on the list, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. And then he puts kind of this one idea, just jams it right in here, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man, Christ Jesus. Paul urges us, first of all, to pray. Who knows that we're supposed to pray?
Right?
Your year 2021 needs to be filled with more prayer. Amen. Make petition, make intercession, thanksgiving, be made for all people. And then Paul highlights, he said for all people. All people means all people. But how many knows you tend to pray for people, but then there are certain people you don't pray for? Maybe you don't kind of care for those people. Maybe those people hacked you off. Maybe those people ticked you off. Maybe those people cut you off on I-75. Then you looked and it was Pastor. I'm sorry. I was playing Pokemon Go. I just didn't see you there. But there are these people that we don't pray for sometimes. And sometimes they are our leaders. Doesn't just blasé say, pray for all people. No, he highlights, make sure you pray for your leaders. Pray for your kings. Those in authority. We are commanded to pray for our leaders. Now, politics is usually a divisive topic, right?
Right.
Gosh, religion and politics, right? You bring it up at the dinner table, they tell you, no, don't do it. But we should be united in our prayers for our leaders, right? So we're going to pray for our leaders, and we're going to pray for their salvation. We're going to pray for their sensitivity to God's voice, obedience to God's voice, godly wisdom, righteousness, and peace. I want you to learn to systematically pray for your leaders. That could be your governmental leaders. That could be the boss. That could be your mom and dad in your home and pray, say it with me, for their salvation, sensitivity to God's voice, obedience to God's voice, godly wisdom, righteousness, and peace. All right. So let me tell you before we pray, this is not an endorsement of a political party. Y'all hear me? Oh, you better believe me. It's not the endorsement of the policies of a government. It's actually so much more powerful than that. It is an endorsement of the word of God. Somebody say amen if I'm telling the truth. That was a weak amen. Y'all believe I'm telling the truth? I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm telling you who to pray for. We will obey your word, O Lord, and we will pray. So all over this house, I'd like you to stand with me. Could you stand all over this house? Stand in unity. And I want you to lift up your voice and begin to pray for our new president, Joe Biden, Vice President Kamala Harris, and other elected officials. All right, let's begin to pray right now. All of you online, join us in prayer. God, Lord, we pray, Lord, for our governmental leaders. Lord, we pray for those in authority. God, Lord, we pray for Joe Biden. Lord, we pray for Kamala Harris. God, we pray for their salvation. We pray, Lord, that they would hear your voice and that they would be obedient to your voice. God, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you'd give them supernatural, godly wisdom. Lord, we pray that righteousness would reign in their hearts and in their decisions, and that peace would reign over their country, God. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray, Lord, for our senators in Texas, Cornyn and Cruz. I pray for representatives in this area, Van Taylor, Burgess, Allred, Gooden, Johnson, Veasley. I pray for our governor, Abbott, right now. In Jesus' name, we pray salvation for them, obedience for them, that they would hear your voice, that righteousness would reign in Jesus' name, and that peace would flourish, God. And that we would continue to be able to have the freedom, God, Lord, to worship you the way we do. Lord, we thank you for that freedom. And everyone said in Jesus' name, clap your hands all over this place. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing and praying with me. Was that all right? Is that okay? Oh, man, it better be okay. I want you to continue to pray for our leaders, all right? And here's the deal. Here's the deal, Ashley. You don't pray, Lord, let that politician that I don't like get hit by a bus. That was not in my list. That's not it. Pray for them. Really pray for them. Did you know? Well, what? Pastor Chris, don't you know that though some of those people, they're our enemies? All right. You know that Jesus told you to pray for your enemies. One more time. Jesus told you to pray for your enemies. He told you to pray for your enemies. So if they're your enemies, great. That means you're supposed to pray for them. All right? All right. Gosh, it's good medicine for us here. I challenge you to pray for your leaders more than praise your leaders. And I challenge you to pray for your leaders more than criticize your leaders. That's a pretty healthy challenge right there. All right. Good job. All right. Oneness, unity. We're coming together. Even on divisive topics, it's like that. One in the church. I want you to get your Bibles out and to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Y'all know your pastor loves to see Bibles. I love to see Bibles. I love to see even like Bible apps. You can go ahead and pull it out. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. And if you don't, we have it on the screen because we love you just like that. And beautiful Alex is helping us. All right. Scripture has a lot to say about unity within the church. It has many commandments concerning unity. It has many warnings about those that cause division. It says that there are wolves in sheep's clothing. That saying comes from your Bible. There are prayers for unity within Scripture. There are places where apostles beg for unity, earnestly plead with the church to love one another and walk in peace and holiness together. Christ himself made sure we knew that the most important commandments were to, number one, love God completely. There is one Lord, love him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. That's almost like our scripture memory verse, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the very next verse in that, Jesus then says, here's what you also need to do. It's equally important. It's up there in importance. Number two, love your neighbor at the same level you love yourself. Number one, you're supposed to love yourself, right? It's a sermon for another time, but you hear it. You need to love yourself, and then you need to love your neighbor at the same level that you love yourself. If you're willing to feed yourself, you need to be willing to feed your neighbor. If you're willing to clothe yourself, you need to be willing to clothe your neighbor. All right? Okay. Christ would have us know that the most important commands unify you to God and unify you to the person that's standing near you, standing beside you, both God and man. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about unity within a body. Now we're going to look at it. Verse 12, chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. Just as a body, though one, somebody say one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. Somebody say one. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit. Somebody say it. One. So as to form one body. Say it again. One. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free. And we are all given the one Spirit. Somebody say it. One. To drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part. Say it. One. But of many. A natural body has many parts. The human body has many distinct parts. There are over 200 bones within an adult body. You are made up of so many parts, yet how many bodies are you?
One.
You are one body. The apostle Paul says, so it is with Christ. Christ himself will baptize you by his one Spirit into one body. That Spirit that we read about. It says you drink of that one Spirit.
Yeah.
It says that in your Bible, John the Baptist said this in Matthew 3:11. It says, the one coming after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with the fire.
Yeah.
It is Jesus that gives you that drink of the Spirit. Even though we are one body, we're still made up of how many parts? Many. More than one. More than one part. There is oneness in the body of Christ, yet not sameness. Somebody say oneness, but not sameness. Paul continues in verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. There is distinction in this body. Just like there are very distinct people. We're all different, aren't we?
Amen.
Oh man, yeah, we are. Some of us are extroverts. Some of us are introverts. Let me hear. Yeah, from all the extroverts.
Yeah.
And all the introverts, y'all just stay where you are. It's good. Just nod. Just let us know you're still alive. Good job. That's right. I'm giving you a hard time. Well, you wouldn't know it, but I'm not an introvert. Did you know that? Some of us are gifted in art. Some of us are gifted in serving. Some of us are gifted in administration. Some of us think we aren't gifted. But the truth is, you ask any person and they'll say, oh, are you kidding? You are so great at fill in the blank. Every one of us is gifted. Some of us are gifted in technology. Some of us are gifted with the pen and paper. There are all kinds of giftings within us. We are all so different. And this is not by accident. It's all by design, because there's many parts to this one body. And to those who feel weak, oh man, anybody ever feel weak? He talks to you. Those parts of the body that feel weak, you feel weak? Those who feel like you may have less to offer, Paul wants you to know you're actually indispensable. You're actually so needed. The part you play is indispensable. Do you believe this? We have a saying, you know, that there was a Jesus-shaped hole in someone's heart. Only Jesus could fill that heart. I want to tell you today that there is a U-shaped hole in the world that only you could fill. There is a U-shaped hole inside his church that he is wanting you to fill. No one really else can fill it like you. You're indispensable. Look at somebody and say, hey, I'm kind of a big deal. You're kind of a big deal. It's true. It's true. I want to invite you today to be a part of the body, not apart from the body. You are invited by Jesus himself to be a part of his body. You have an important part to play within the body of Christ,
Amen.
His church. Now Jesus says to you, will you be a part? It is so powerful to know that you have a part to play. It is so powerful to be able to stand with the revelation of your purpose within the body. I can tell you from experience, when I realized that God had called me to do something in his church, it wasn't like a pride thing. It was a power thing. It empowered me. I stood up and I started acting. Why? Because God himself told me I had a part to play in his church. God wants you to do more than just attend his church. He wants you to be his church. He wants you to play your part within the body. So are you? Are you doing that? Looking back at 1 Corinthians 12. Now looking at verse 25. So that there should be no division. Everything we had just preached on, everything that Paul had just said, there's a so attached to it. There's a because, and the because is this, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. There should be no division in the body. I'm going to give you my thoughts. I don't think the Church of Jesus is living up to that statement. There should be no division in the body of Christ. I don't mean to alarm you. This sermon's about to get bumpy. I'm telling you, I don't think that the Church of Jesus Christ is living up to the statement that there should be no division in this body. Have you ever had someone ask, what kind of church do you go to? Anybody raise your hand real quick? All right, good. And you answer something like this. Well, I go to a loving church and it's so friendly and they do so much in the community and in worldwide missions. Every time I turn around, they're helping somebody. They preach the gospel with passion and they love Jesus Christ and they just honor his word and they just believe it and they're just willing to do anything. Right? You say something like that. And have you ever had them look back at you confused? I have. They look back at me confused. Like, almost like, oh, you're special kind of stupid. Like, how could you possibly misunderstand my question? I mean, what kind of church is it? You know, what's the name of the denomination. Whenever I hear the word denomination, I think of two words. I think of domination and also think of demon nation for some reason, which is one of Scott Fain's favorite bands, I think. I'm just kidding. I want to tell you today, this is where we're just going to go at it. We're going to punch some things in the face, not people. I want to tell you denominations are a division in the body of Christ. Now, I'm not against groups organizing so that they can combine their efforts in reaching the world with the gospel, right? But let's get real. Denominations are more about division than they are about reaching the world with the gospel. Can't tell you how many denominational meetings I've been at where they say the name of their denomination about 300 more times than they say the name of our Savior. I'm telling you the truth, I am. Don't believe me? You don't believe me? Oh, I'm glad you don't believe me because I got an example for you. Okay. Have you ever heard of the Baptist Church? Everybody nod at me. Everybody go, woohoo, you love the Baptist. That's right, I love the Baptist. Everybody go, woohoo. We love you more than that, Baptist. I just don't know where we are today. All right. What about the Baptist Church? Oh, well, you got to be more specific. Are you talking about the Alliance of Baptists, the American Baptist Association, the Association of Reformed Baptist Churches, the Association of Regular Baptist Churches? It's actually called that. Christian Baptist Church of God, the Christian Unity Baptist Association. Perhaps, Adrian, you meant the Conservative Baptist Association, maybe the Free Will Baptist Association, Jeremy, the Holiness Baptist Association. Or did you mean the Independent Baptist Church of America, maybe Liberty Baptist, Landmark Baptist, King James Version only? Baptist, Missionary Baptist, Nazarene Baptist Church, the Old Baptist Union, the Primitive Baptist, the Progressive Baptist Convention, the Regular Baptist Churches General Association, maybe the Separate Baptist Alliance. How about the Seventh-day Baptist, Southern Baptist Convention, Sovereign Grace Baptist, Strict Baptist, actually named, United Baptist, World Baptist Fellowship? You can't just say Baptist. We need to know which part of the Baptist division you are a part of. And I shorten that list by a lot. That's about one third. Yeah, but that's only the Baptist. Oh, yeah? What about the Methodist? Are you the African Methodist Episcopal or the African Methodist Episcopal Zion Church? The British Methodist Episcopal? The Christian Methodist Episcopal? The Congregational Methodist? The Evangelical Methodist? The Free Methodist? The Primitive Methodist? The Southern Methodist? The United Methodist? Very funny. Wesleyan Methodist. Have you heard enough? Do you want to just go down the denominational list? Oh, no, denominations. You got it all wrong, Pastor. They're not about divisions. Anybody want more of this? I don't. I'm pretty sure he don't. Doesn't this, part of this kind of grieve you? Part of this really makes me angry. And part of it makes me sad. All at the same time? You ever get angry, cry at the same time? Crangry? Is that a? It makes me ask sometimes, what have we done to the body of Christ? What have we done to the body of Christ? We have literally said to the hand, we don't want you. We have literally said to the foot, you don't belong around here. We have split, and then we have split, and then we have split, and we split again. Over and over, we have divided what God has said would be one body with many parts. There should be no division in the body. Say it with me. There should be no division in the body. One more time, declare it. There should be no division in the body. There should be one body with many parts. Yet we've divided the body over and over and over again. Jesus says these words, Matthew chapter 16, verses 18. He says, on this rock I will build my church. Did Jesus say churches? Did he say church? Is that singular?
Yes.
Jesus promised to only build one church. Where do we find the birth of this church that Jesus built? Somebody help me. It's found in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2. It's where they hear the message of Jesus for the first time, and they are born again by the power of the Spirit. Yet, and I don't mean to crush denominations by name, but we will. Yet, when Catholics point to their beginning, they actually point to the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. Eastern Orthodox churches point to the 11th century where they split off from the Catholics. The Lutheran churches, they point to Martin Luther in the 16th century. where they divided yet again. Calvinist churches, they point to John Calvin in the later 16th century, where they divided from the Protestants. Presbyterians, they point to John Knox in the 1560s. Baptists point to John Smith in the 1600s. Methodists point to John and Charles Wesley in the 1700s, where they split. Can I remind you, need I remind you, church, that we are only supposed to point to one person, and it is Jesus Christ. It is one person who died on a cross for us. Oh my gosh. Our start is no other than the day that Jesus Christ baptized us with the Spirit in Acts chapter 2. It's still true today that your born again start is when the Lord fills you with His Spirit and you become born again. 1 Corinthians 12:13, we read it. Let me remind you, for we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. When the Spirit came in Acts chapter 2, it formed one body. And they were united. And they were together. They ate bread from house to house together. They had things in common together. They were willing to die together. They were willing to go underground in persecution together. They were willing to suffer together. They were willing to sell all they had to further Jesus Christ together. Why? Because they had been born by something supernatural into the body of Jesus Christ. And it changed them forever. The year is 2021, and I speak to all churches everywhere and every Christian. We need to get a hold of that same new birth. We need to get a hold of that same empowering, infilling Holy Spirit that makes us born again. It is not a one-time experience. It's what we need to live in, and it unites us into the body. We are all given the one Spirit to drink. There is one church, and the only church history that we should really care about is the one found in your Bible, in the book of Acts. God still only has one church telling you that. And that church should look like the church in the book of Acts. They should have that same heart. They should have that same passion. They should have miracles. And they should be willing, willing, willing. We don't need to try to be like a church in the 1900s. Or a church in the 1800s. Or a church in the 1500s. Or any of the councils. Lord, make us that one church. By the power of that one Spirit. In Jesus' name. Lord, can you pray that? Lord, make us that one church. Lord, make my family that church. Lord, make me that church in the name of Jesus. Not make my denomination that church. No, make me that church. I want to be that church that you build upon the rock in Jesus' name. Be a part of the body, not apart from the body. Denominationalism is division that has driven us apart. And worse, we don't even love one another. I have been the fly on a wall at more than one denominational meeting. I know what I'm talking about. I have been in meetings where they talked about that other church. I've been there. I'd be lying if say I didn't take part in those conversations. Oh, that other church. Sometimes it was even the church within their own denomination, but for some reason they disagree over something. Right? Well, those other people. No, we're the real ones. Those other, right? Oh my goodness. I have been privy to conversations at the table beside me at the restaurant. On a Sunday afternoon, I've heard the talk coming out of church. They aren't talking about the sermon. They're talking about those other Christians. I've heard it. I've been there. I remember growing up after church on Sunday, We went to the very God-blessed place called the Sizzler. My gosh. Heard of the Sizzler? Anybody ever been to the Sizzler? Oh, I'm excited right now. Western Sizzling. We all called it the Sizzler. Big buffet. I remember I was a little kid. I was around 8 years old, 9 years old. I remember I would go up to that buffet and I knew what church folk looked like. You know what church folk look like, right? You knew those people had just been from church and they were just as unfriendly as anyone else. As rude as anyone else. Made waitresses cry as much as anyone else. My God. I want to tell you, what is that? It's not being the body of Christ. There's something that has torn us up. It has mutilated the body. When you see a Christian that looks nothing like Christ, you see somebody that's been mutilated. They no longer look like them. Something has divided them. Something has torn them up. Something has divided their heart. My goodness. I have heard how churches view other churches as the competition. You know, that other church over there, they're building that new place. So we got to do something because that church is going to get more people than us. It's conversation. I've heard it. Newsflash. The body of Christ is not your competition. They're your brothers and sisters. The spirit of darkness is competition. Your pride is the competition. Your ego is the competition. Your lack of love is the competition. A culture that's constantly moving away from Christ and you're right in line with it. That's the competition. Somebody say amen. I have witnessed the lightest, smallest disagreement on scripture. Let brothers in the same body become enemies. Anybody ever see that? We have a YouTube page. And you know YouTube has nothing but kind comments. There's a saying, if you have a YouTube page, you go ahead and post that video, sweetheart, but don't read the comments. Let somebody else read that for you. It's soul crushing, right? But Christians, surely Christians on YouTube would be better. Right? I invite you to the Redemption Church YouTube page. I've got a sermon in mind that literally we just look at a verse and we say, this verse is a verse not everybody agrees on. We think it's this. Okay? And people have written the most awful things on that page about my wife. I was called a soy boy on that page. I had to look up what a soy boy was. I'll let you, a non-masculine man. I drink almond milk. What? But they said terrible things about my wife. And these are Christians. And they said, you're leading everybody to hell. And your church is a damnation station. By the way, this might be a good time to point out. You ought to go by their YouTube page and say something nice. Don't get an argument, but say something nice about my wife, maybe. And these are Christians and they feel empowered to say such nasty things. Oh, there's something wrong because we're supposed to be drinking of one spirit and be part of one body. And we're supposed to love one another. If I was their enemy, they should do what? They should pray for me. Oh, over here, you have the church of God. And over here, you have the church of Christ. And over here, you have the church of God in Christ. And Lord help us if they ever wander into the same building. If they ever get in the same room, Lord help us, you're going to have a fight on your hands. Now, I want to tell you real quick that this is nothing new. This is not something that happened 5 years ago. This is not something that Biden started or Trump started. Name the politicians. No, it's not that. It is true that pagans burnt Christians at the stake, but it also is true that Christians burnt Christians at the stake. I want to tell you a story. In the 1500s, a Spanish physician and part-time theologian, his name was Michael Servetus. He started a letter correspondence with a noted theologian named John Calvin. And they had a disagreement over part of Scripture, over the Godhead. And they wrote letters back and forth. Many letters were written back and forth. These people had never been in the same room, but they debated over these letters. And then one day, Calvin used his political sway and power to mark Servetus as a heretic. And orders for Servetus's arrest came. And he ran for his life. And as he was trying to leave Italy, he decided, you know what? I need to see John Calvin, my brother, face to face. So before he stopped in Geneva, before he left, he stopped in Geneva where John Calvin pastored. And Michael Servetus attended that service and listened to Calvin preach a sermon. When the sermon was over, he got up, he walked outside, and he waited to be able to greet John Calvin face to face. After the service, Servetus was arrested, imprisoned, and later burned at the stake. Here is their disagreement. Listen very carefully. Servetus believed in one God who reveals himself in three distinct modes or manifestations: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. John Calvin believed in one God who is three distinct persons: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Is that the worst thing you've ever heard? It's pretty stupid, huh? It's pretty criminal. Not only are we supposed to be one, we're actually supposed to love one another. Just a tip, Christians. Maybe we shouldn't argue doctrine if we haven't yet learned to love our neighbor. 1 Corinthians 12, we're going back there, verse 25. So that there should be no division in the body, so that its parts should have equal concern for one another. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. You pause. Just wait. Do we do that? There's Haitians that are running for their life. They're being killed in Haiti. They're running for their life. Some of them were picked up in Texas trying to get across the border. Those were Christians. They were running for their life. I don't want to get in the political bog of all that. No, I want to tell you, are we suffering with those that suffer? There are Christians, there are pastors I know that have been beaten up for the gospel. Not 100 years ago, today, last week. There are churches that are going hungry. We think we've had it rough with the coronavirus. There are churches that have suffered greatly. If one part of the body suffers, all of the body should suffer. Now you know that's true with your hand when you hit it with a hammer, right? But the Church of Jesus Christ, when there is an earthquake somewhere, well, you know, those are hurting people right there. You ought to suffer a little bit. You ought to hurt a little bit. When someone's sick in the hospital, oh man, so many times, oh man, that's really bad. I'll pray for them. And then you never pray for them. You know that thing, that old trick. You know, saying I'll pray for them is not the same thing as actually praying for them. if one part suffers. I'm telling you, we could do this a little better, don't you think? If one part suffers, maybe we don't go to Starbucks this week. Maybe we suffer a little bit. We send the $8 for that Frappuccino to help somebody. How about this one? If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Man, if somebody has good news, rejoice with it. If they're being honored, if they've won something, if they get a job, as one body, we rejoice in it. We congratulate. We lift them up. Let's celebrate. There is an old art form of celebration that needs to be revived in the year 2021. That is some great news. Grab your coat. We're going to go celebrate. I heard that there's a sizzler somewhere. We're going to go to it. But we celebrate with people. There's an old art like that. We need to do it. We need to be those people. Now it says, you are the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of it. I want to tell you about the Haddaball family. Anybody know the Haddaball family? Not all of you do, but they're some of the sweetest people you will ever meet. Right now, as we are speaking, they are planting churches all over Lebanon. They are centered in Beirut, Lebanon. There are Syrian refugees that are flooding into Lebanon left and right, running for their life. And they run into a sweet couple like Julie and Matt. And they love those people. They love those people and they feed those people and they tell those people about Jesus. And those people are becoming Christians. They're becoming pastors. They're training up a new generation right as we speak in Beirut, Lebanon. When I first met Matt and Julie, they called me up, didn't know who they were. They said, hey, pastor, I know you're busy, but we would love to tell you about what we're doing. And I'm like, yeah, sure. So we met. We had $8 Frappuccinos at a coffee shop and we talked. And I remember asking where they were getting their support from. That's a question you ask. And the Haddaballs are ordained in a spirit-filled organization, denominational sort. If I said the name, you might know it. You might not know it. It's all right. And I asked them, okay, so y'all are in this denomination over here. What about people from this denomination over here? They're basically the same. Y'all basically believe the same. This group and this group, y'all are just called different names. You're both spirit-filled. Y'all both believe the same things. You're both absolutely, that should be a no-brainer that you should be able to find support among these people that are Christians. And I asked Julie and Matt, what about that really large spirit-filled denomination? It's actually the largest of all the spirit-filled denominations. Do any of them support you? Your beliefs line up 100%, so what's the percentage of their support? Matt told me that they have called countless of those churches, but they've always been told no. They always refuse to meet with them. Matt went on to explain that this particular organization, you know, the largest one in the whole world that is a spirit-filled organization, used to have a work where? In Beirut, Lebanon. But it died, and they've never been able to send anyone else there. And I looked at Matt, and I'm like, you're already there. They don't even have to send you. They just have to pray for you and support you and love you and your children that are on the mission field. I sat dumbfounded and I still feel dumbfounded. This is a stupid problem. It makes no sense. It is nothing like Jesus Christ. To play it out in Jesus' story, it would be like, here's Jesus and he didn't have 12 disciples. He had 12 denominations. That's what it would be like. And they would never, he wouldn't be able to send them out together. They'd have to go all their separate ways. That's what it would be like. It's ridiculous. It's stupid. It should not be this way. If one suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honored, we all rejoice together. It would appear denominations are more interested in their own names, the names of their organizations, than they are in the saving, wonderful name of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, there is no greater name than the name of Jesus. There is no greater name than your name, Jesus. that all the world would know your name and call on your name. It is time we stop caring about who gets the credit and we give God all the glory. Somebody say AG2G. Oh, that's something our care pastor Marshall started so many years ago. I love it today. What does AG2 mean? AG2G mean? All glory to God. One of the most frustrating things I've ever endured as a pastor. It's just a frustration. Can I be honest with y'all? Pastoring's not all cupcakes and rainbows, pizza parties. I see people, come through the church. It happens. It's almost like a revolving door. And all churches experience that. That's not just here. That's everywhere. But I see certain people come through and I can tell they really like it here. It's different for them. And so they're trying to, they're like scared of it because it's not the denomination that they're from, right? But at the same time, they feel something that's real, and they feel, and so they're like torn between their traditions and what they're feeling, which is Jesus. And they keep coming back, and I love to see them coming back. Yet, I have seen many come, but resist taking an actual step past walking in the door. They don't want to become a member. They don't want to, be baptized or take the next step in Jesus Christ. And it's because I gather a lot of times. It's because Redemption Church doesn't fill in the blank of their denomination. We aren't the fill in the blank church that they were raised in, that their grandmother went to. And can I tell you, that's really a frustration. That's a frustration. I just decided, you know what? You're frustrated about it. Let's just say it. Listen, if you're in this church, I know we might not be your denominational cup of tea, but you could sure help us, and we sure love you, and let's be one together. Let's hang out. Let's do life together. Let's save the world together. Let's preach the gospel together. Let's go to heaven together. Let's be together. Oh man. And we've got some visitors here today, so I don't mean to like be like, cause I know walking into a church, you're like, oh my gosh, what's this church all about? There's a funny story about my wife and snakes. I told Sarah, well, I was raised Pentecostal, and so I met this beautiful woman, and she said, oh my God, you handle snakes? I'm like, no. If you don't know, there's like five people out in the Appalachian Mountains that handle snakes that are Pentecostal, but she thought, oh my gosh, but there's some people that come into church, oh my gosh, no, they don't have snakes here, right? They don't have snakes here. Like you walk into a church, it can be like that. I get that. We don't have snakes, by the way. We got rid of those last week. Kidding. It was last October. All right. Listen, we might not fill your fill in the blank, but Jesus loves us and he loves you and he's obviously drawing us together. So let's walk together. You know, there's a great thing about walking. You can walk with somebody and it has nothing to do with the past. When you walk with somebody, it means you're walking to the same destination. And so we're a church, man. We got people from all over the place. We got Catholics here. We got Lutherans here. We got Church of Christ here. We got Pentecostals here. We got Baptists here. We got all kinds of people. We got atheists here. We got all kinds of people that are just on their way to Jesus and they come here and it feels good. And you know what? That's great. Let's not judge each other about where we're coming from. Let's walk together to the same destination. And that destination is more than a place. It's a person. It's Jesus Christ. Who wants to walk with me towards Jesus? You want to walk with? Please, there's plenty of room with me. Let's walk arm in arm. Let's go all the way. And as we walk, let's lift up the name of Jesus Christ above every other name, above every other name. It is time that we do away with division in the body. We've always said we're a non-denominational church. And then some people use the term interdenominational church. I'm about ready to coin the phrase anti-denominational church. I'm just done with it. I don't care what your denominational background is. You are a part of the body, and it's all to the glory of Jesus Christ. And you have a part to play. You're indispensable. This church has been waiting on you. We're so glad you're here. Church, we need to become one in the church. We need to be one in our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're drawing to a close, but I just want to bring this last thought to you. The church in Acts was united. What was it that unites them? It was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ united them. It's crazy that Jesus Christ united all kinds of different backgrounds. Fishermen, wealthy people, tax collectors, sinners, prostitutes, Pharisees, Gentiles, slaves. It drew everyone together through Jesus Christ. In fact, people who used to kill Christians, they meet Jesus and then they become part of the body. And you know what? The people let former Christian killers into the church and they walked together, and you will meet them in heaven. The only name that mattered in the book of Acts is the name of Jesus. The only thing that was newsworthy is what Jesus Christ was doing. I want to tell you that we don't need a Pentecostal revival. We don't need an Episcopalian revival. We don't need a Methodist, a Baptist, a Presbyterian, or a Catholic revival. We need a Jesus revival. We need a revival that is all about Him. We need a revival that's all about His name. We need a revival where there is only one name that matters. Somebody tell me that name. Jesus. We need a move of God where the only thing people can talk about is our Savior. Oh, I got to tell you, I can't stand the day and age we're living in where people, you know, throw out celebrity pastor names. Yeah. You've been around that? There's some of that in this city even. And I'm sure the pastors don't like it. I hope they don't. But, you know, they just throw that out. My gosh, can we just get all of that away? That is no different than pointing like to John Calvin and pointing to John Knox and the Wesley. No, point only to Jesus Christ. Every Christian, point only to Jesus Christ. It's cool to invite people to come meet your pastor, but it's not as important as meeting your Savior. My gosh. Is there anyone who's hungry for a Jesus revival? Redemption Church, we are nothing without Jesus. But with Jesus, we can do anything. We can do all things to Christ who gives us strength. Through Jesus, He said He would build us upon a rock, and the gates of hell would not prevail against us. It is so easy to feel hopeless. I threw out a lot of just church garbage, right? When we look at the church world, it's so easy to feel hopeless. I get it. But let me tell you what Jesus said. He said, let's read it together. Say it out loud. Matthew 16:18. On this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Can I tell you, you're still His church? We're still His church. You listen to me, Baptists, you're still His church. Methodists, you're still His Catholics, you're still His church. You listen, you're still His church. Come on, get united under the banner of Jesus Christ. I love you. I want to have fellowship with all my Christian brothers and sisters. He is still building His church. I'm going to go a little further. I believe this with all my heart. There is not enough room for this one Redemption Church to house the revival that's coming. Baptists, we're going to need you. Methodists, we're going to need you. Presbyterians, we're going to need you. Because the world needs Jesus. We're going to need you to open up your church and let people come in and find him. Oh, hallelujah. Anybody feel something in this house? We're about to open this for a time of prayer and worship. But I've got one final thing to ask you here. Do you want to be a Jesus revival church, or there is another thing you can do? And we got to decide. Here's the other thing. Do you want to just add our names to the rolls of countless denominations that have come and split about part the body? Do we just want to sign our name to that list and we'll just be one more division in his church? Is that what you want to be? Or do you want to be uniter? You want to be a church that's on fire, and there's something powerful about on fire. If you're around fire, you will catch on fire. Fire is a uniter. The Holy Spirit is a fire that will unite us. But if we are never touching one another, how will that fire catch on? Or today, do we want to be a Jesus church that's built on Jesus, worshiping Jesus, our hope in Jesus, filled with the power of Jesus? Jesus, I love you. I desire you. Forgive us, Jesus, of being after the traditions of men and not after you. We're ready for you today. If you feel like praying, I want to open these altars.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.